been singing all the way around, and that's just a blessing from on high. It's good to know and to be able to serve the resurrected Savior. And I hope and trust you've had a good and prosperous day. Is it on yet? How about now? What about now? There you go. Now, these boys said that none of these batteries would work. Did y'all try them that were plugged in back there? Did y'all put them in right? Did you try putting them in there without using the little charger? Did you not try to put it in too? Yeah, never mind. That's an inside joke, all right? Probably did, yeah. They would. I imagine you were trying to steer them right. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking tonight in the book of 1 Thessalonians. In the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be turning there in that chapter that's there. And if you find the place you're able to stand, we're going to be looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's look in about verse number 3. Now, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and prayer and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. In other words, He's one watching, isn't He? Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We want to say thank you, thou art God, beside thee there is none else. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you've done, what you're doing. And, Lord, may you help us by the grace of God to be able to turn it all over unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to talk about your work and labor of love a little bit tonight. I want to say to you that whenever you know about the word of the Lord, over there in Hebrews chapter number 6 and about verse 10, don't turn there, but you'll find that God is not unfaithful to forget our work of labor and love toward His name's sake. That's kind of what we're looking at here in 1 Thessalonians, and the church at Thessalonica begin to learn that. Your work and your labor of love, work by faith, by according to the word of the Lord, and exalting the name of the Lord. Now, let me ask all you boys and girls that may take life for granted. Do you know how much trouble your family goes to provide a living for you? You don't know yet, but you're going to. Do you know how much work they go to trying to keep you thinking right and walking right and talking right and spitting white? That's a work and labor of love. Do you know how much time these ladies put in whenever we have a revival, a camp meeting type of a deal, or maybe an anniversary, and they're working and organizing and planning a food meal. And do you know how much work, whenever it comes graduation time, they go through to put all this stuff together? In this Bible lesson here that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, nothing is for free in this life. You're going to hear that said one of these days. And if you're going to be able to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord, you're going to have to realize I'm working for and laboring for and the love I have for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you'll find out that many times that these boys and girls, now some of you have already graduated. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I wouldn't dare ask you because I already know that you did. But how many of you went up and said to whoever that was, put that on and coordinated that and got all that and was involved in it and helped in your being able to help show up and watch you rehearsing? How many of you ever walked up to them and said, I just want to say thank you for all the hard work and the time and effort that you've put in? Now, you might have been saying, I'd like to know what the next project and fun thing that I can be doing. You're a jackass is what you are. That's not a bad. You know, I thought for a minute, those people that are always condemning us and we're not doing enough according to their standard. Let me show you in the Bible real quickly that if I might. Look over there in the book of, where is it here? 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn there quickly. You might want to be able to look at that. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And let me tell you, God's got it all planned out. And make no mistake about it, you'll find that if you understand the mind of God and the will of God, what everybody else is saying not going to affect you too much. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and look at about verse number 11. Let's take up there. Now these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, conversation, charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, until I come again, give attendance to, here's what my job is, reading, exhortation, and the doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things and give thyself, look, holy unto them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them, for in so doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, did you notice there that I'm to give myself wholly to that? Not partly. I'm not a party planner. I'm not a play game preacher. I'm to give myself wholly unto prayer and attendance of the word of the Lord, and to be able to hide the word in my heart that my profiting might appear before all. So you see in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out while you turn over there in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, turn quickly there. I'll give you a moment to find that. I thought for a minute that our critics, I had found their name in the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 16. Now when you look into this lesson, it's there. You're going to find out that it's a message about Balaam. And notice, if you will, don't go getting crazy about it, because this is not what he's calling them. But he said, "The which have forsaken the right way, gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity," the dumb ass speaking, and that's about a donkey that's there, "with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet." Now, I don't have time to be able to dig into all of that, or you don't have time either, and we're just interested in hitting the highlight, and you can look it up at home. But over in the book of Numbers, if you find out that Balaam was a man that, I don't know, he sought after God. He knew something about God. I don't believe he really knew God, but he knew something about God. And as a result of that, the king of Moab, by the name of Balak, wanted to hire him to curse Israel. They were coming through the land, and everybody was shut up, scared to death over Israel. And the Bible said that, if you please, when you begin to look into it, is that there is a passage I want you to see over there if we can. It's in the book of Numbers, and you can look there quickly if you like. I believe it's in Numbers in about chapter number 22. And we'll look there in the passage that's there. Now, we'll skip down through a whole lot of it. Because here's what Balaam finally ends up telling Balak. He sent a messenger there and wanted him to come and to curse the children of Israel. Well, he learned real quick that he couldn't curse whom God had done blessed. In verse number 18, "And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, that if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold," that's all it takes for the average Baptist, "I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." So as a result of it, boy, Balaam's thinking about, "I'd like to have a mess of that silver and gold. Sure would like to have a little bit more of that." And so he goes to trying to bargain with maybe the Lord to let him go with this stipulation or that stipulation. So notice, if you will, in verse 23. "And the ass saw the angel of the Lord," and here he is riding upon it, and he's already going, made a bargain, he thinks, with God. And verse 23, "And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing at the way, and the sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way. And he went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way." All right, then "the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards of the wall, being on this side and on wall on that side. Now when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place and where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened up the mouth of the ass. Here we go. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now, I'll tell you how far away this old boy here is from God. Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. In other words, here he is taking up an argument with a donkey. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. The ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, and upon which thou hast written ever since that I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee? And he answered, nay. Then the Lord opened up the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in the hand, and he bowed his head, and he fell flat on his face. He realized and knew that if God had not used that donkey, that ass, if you will, please, if he had not used him to turn out of the way, that angel of the Lord would have done slain Balaam right in the path of which he was going in. I want to say unto you that, if you will, please, is that when you read over there in 2 Peter, you're going to find out that it's going to be God's way, or it better be the highway, and you'd better watch where you're going on in. In this lesson here, you'll find that Paul the Apostle is that you'll find, here's what he said, over there in the book of Romans in chapter 10 by verse number 8, is that we're to preach the word of faith. In other words, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. I got to tell you right now is, you know what's wrong in the average Baptist church? They've traded preaching for playing. That's the reason they get together and go through the motions of prayer and this and that, but they're more interested in partying and playing than they are the preaching of the blessed word of the Lord. I begin to look into this Bible lesson. And Paul the Apostle, while you turn to the book of Acts in chapter number 26, there's a passage over there, and here's what Paul the Apostle wanted to do, is that in Acts chapter number 26, it's about verse number 9, and as we look there in the chapter, and as we look there in that passage there, Acts 26 verse 9, Paul the Apostle, here's what he said. For I thought verily myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, did you know that God, the Bible said, made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions? Paul was a religious man, and he thought that I ought to do many things against the Lord and so forth and all. And let me tell you right now, you know, I out of all these years of ministry, I've met men that needed something else to do, they thought. At the neglect of their own family. I've met women that wanted to be busy with this and busy with that and busy, 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 busy at the expense of their family. Paul the Apostle said, I thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. But do you realize and know that whenever you begin to look out and begin to find out that man has always done it, and he's doing it now, and he will be tomorrow, and that is, he seeks out many inventions that he's come up with that makes him feel good or makes her feel good about what's going on in life. You know the worst thing that I ever had in Baptist church? Now, I don't want you to pass out. Women's Bible studies. You go to get a women's Bible study group, and I guarantee you that's a recipe for disaster. First thing you know is they want to be in charge of something. Next thing you know is they want to have some authority. Next thing you know is they're having trouble with their husband because he ain't man enough to stand up to the preacher and have fulfill her desire. I don't mean, you can, ladies can amen that because you know that's the truth of the matter. Folks are busy wanting something to do. How about instead of looking for something else to do, how about just looking for something else to be, and that is just be a Christian instead of trying to drown your sorrow and drown your mentality with a bunch of activity that don't amount to a hill of beans. See what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out this is the same man that's right here, that whenever he said, I thought myself to do many things. If you read Philippians chapter number 3 and about verse number 13, here's what he finally ended up doing. He said, I zeroed in on one thing that I learned that was needful. Just one. You know, if you can ever get that one thing down, and it's going to be hard in the day and hour that we're living in to be able to get that one thing down. And, you know, preachers are the world's worst. They got to have something to do. I went to a preacher one time, and of course, you know, by invitation and all of that. And over there, as a result of that, they were going to have this and that, and I forget what all it was, but I finally asked him and said, you must really hate your church. Man, got four or five preachers in a row and all that bit. You must really hate your people. Because I watched the same guy that lined that up nearly about go to sleep and snore during the service himself. I'm not knocking him, you understand, because I myself wanted to do such. I was just afraid somebody would steal my billfold. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And we don't want to forget what God said. He has not forgotten our work and our labor of love that we've showed toward His name. And toward the saints of God. In this Bible lesson here, the Bible said over in the book of Philippians in chapter number 3, listen to verse number 13. And in that passage there, here's what he said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. That'd kill the average Baptist right there. This one thing that I'm doing. You know what it is? Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to say to you that if you will, you've already read enough, seen enough. Over there in the book of Luke, in chapter number 12 in the book of Luke, and you can listen to it, turn to it, whatever you want to do. But in chapter 12, the book of Luke, in about verse number 1, listen to what he said. Now, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and neither hid that shall not be known. And therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. You know, I want to tell you something, is that the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. They say one thing while they're busy doing another. And let me say to you that, if you will, that they weren't impressing God whatsoever. Fact is, they tried to correct the Lord Jesus Christ on more than one occasion. They wanted to put him to death, but it was not in their power to be able to do so. But they stirred up all the stink they possibly could about it. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we don't want to forget the work and the labor of love that God has put us in since the day that we got saved. You know, you'd be surprised how many people know more about your business than you do. I mean, listen, there's a few things that come our way. We had to pull the mailman out of the yard over at Brother Joe and Miss Lori. It was over there. And so Brother Matt helped me. We hooked on to it. He come to mine knocking on my door like this. That means I'm stuck in Joe and Lori's yard. I figured that out later. He said, now look, I'll do the pushing if you just get it and guide it for me. Well, it was a little nasty looking. But I told him, okay, let's give it a try. I said, I can tell you right now, it's not going to move, but I'll help you. Let's do it. And so I got in it, and it was just bottomed out right there. And so I said, here, just hang on. Let me get a chain. Brother Matt brought his truck and hooked on to it and this and that. And, you know, there's a lot of things whenever you're going to try to help somebody and do something. Number one is you don't want to touch their vehicle and try to hook nothing to it. If there's going to be something hooked to it wrong, you let them hook it. See? And then you got to be very careful that they don't get all excited and put it in reverse and run over you whenever they come by. Anyhow, we got him out. We got him up and so forth and on and sent him on his way. He said, I've got some more packages to deliver. I said, put them all on my porch and that'll be fine right there. I said all that to be able to let you know that isn't it good that every now and again that God just upsets our routine of life so that we'll be able to learn something and know something different. But let me tell you, it all boils down to one thing God's interested in you and I doing. Just one. And I'm not even good at getting one thing done. But if I could ever get down to that one thing, in the day we live in, the average Baptist, if all they had was one thing to do, they would die from boredom. Some of you are like that. I don't mean that ugly. I don't know who you are. I don't have any of you in mind, but I know that's exactly how you are. I can tell you how you are. If you jump in the car, you've got to have the radio blaring. Yeah. You're riding down the road. Because you can't stand to be by yourself with the Lord or by yourself. It's not wrong. I'm not beating you up about it. I'm just trying to tell you. In closing tonight, I want to say, do you know how much God cares for us? Well, there's many passages that shows the personal interest that God has for us. We'll not take time, but the Bible said in John chapter number 10 that he knows us by name. And I want to tell you what, if he doesn't know your name, you're not saved. If you are saved, he knows your name. Matthew chapter 10 said he knows the number of the hairs of our head, how many that are their number. Now, he's not having to spend a whole lot of time keeping up with my number, but he knows it. He counts the steps that we've made with our feet. He writes down the thoughts of your heart. He bottles up the tears that you shed and why you shed them. He holds your right hand while you're walking through life. This Bible said he'll supply all you need. See, his care is like a mother that's comforting you or comforting her young. It's like a shepherd that's seeking the one that's lost. He's like the eagle that bears you up above all the elements of this world. As the father pitieth his children, so the father pitieth you and I. As a hen that gathers up her brood, so doeth the Father to you and I. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over us, so that he rejoiceth over his bride. Now, the reason why that's important, because the devil's running around loose like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's after your mind. He's after your wife. He's after your children. He's after your life. The devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you'll just simply zero in on a few of these little simple truths, it won't make any difference what anybody else is saying up and down the road of life. And whenever it does in your mind, may you hear that hee-haw, 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 because that's the information that you're going to get from the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's good to be saved, isn't it? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for love. Lord, I pray that now that you'd help us to remember the work and labor of love that we're involved in. May we look unto thee, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable.